Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In our first episode, Reed and Rev talk about their meetups, the Western Mass Bitcoin meetup and the South Bend, Indiana Bitcoin meetup. All right, we're live. I guess we're not live. We're recording, though. How's it going, Rev?
Hey, Reed. Yeah, it's the first one. Local Bitcoiners, episode one.
Pilot episode, baby. Go. Let's go.
I'm Rev Hodel. You can find me on Noster. That's where I hang out. And then all of the various group chats, which is, as you'll, if you listen to this podcast moving forward, you'll find out that the group chats are an essential component to Bitcoin meetups. But yeah, this is Local Bitcoiners. This is a Bitcoin podcast about Bitcoin meetups.
Hell yeah. Yeah, and I'm Reed. I run the Western Mass Bitcoin meetup. Pretty excited. I think that this is, you know, I think our concept here is to start a podcast where we are talking to, I think, pretty much exclusively Bitcoin meetup organizers. Bitcoin meetups are such a lively place that you can find the real grassroots Bitcoin adoption. That's one of the things I love about meetups. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped for this podcast, pretty pumped for this first episode, and I'm so happy that you're here to join and that we can go on this little adventure together.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, the world needs to hear about Bitcoin meetups on a regular basis, the Bitcoin culture and community. Bitcoin meetups have been one of the ways that I've been able to access a lot more value from my Bitcoin and my participation in the Bitcoin culture and community. I run the South Bend, Indiana meetup. I suppose I'm hoping that as more people listen, if they've got a meetup, that they give us a little boost and do a little advertisement for their meetup so we can read it off here at the beginning and hopefully we'll remember to do it at the end too, just so people know what's out there. And if they're listening and there's something nearby, they can go make the decision to show up and see what's going on. And so I run the South Bend, Indiana meetup with Bitcoin account, and that's the first Thursday of every month at Lang Lab in South Bend. Our next meetup is Thursday, February 5th, so at 6 p.m. And that's 6 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're in the South Bend, Indiana area and you want to come hang out at Lang Lab with Bitcoin account and I, we will be there talking about Bitcoin.
Sweet. Yeah, actually, you know, I meant to ask you about the time zone thing, because you guys are pretty close to the line there, right?
Yeah, there can be some confusion on whether it's Central Time or Eastern Time.
Yeah, I figured it was a good sign that we both showed up like at the same time. So it was probably Eastern Time. So our meetup, we run our meetup once a month. We don't have a first or a last Sunday of the month, but we always do Sundays. It fluctuates a little bit just based on my schedule, but we always do Sundays, 6 p.m. We've got a good location. We meet at one of our meetup members. Their brother owns a pizza shop nearby, and they've got a nice little side room with a TV and stuff, and we sort of just get to fill up that area. Plus, we get some kind of interesting drop-ins from the normies just picking up their pizza, which is actually, we've had a couple of fun interactions there. With people joining. So that's at Peppa's Pizza in East Long Meadow in Western Massachusetts. And we've been going, our meetup's been going strong. We're doing good with this. I think we were coming up on meetup number, I should know the number off the top of my head, 42. And that's on Sunday, February 15th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Well, there you go. Anyone listening, if you're in the Western Massachusetts area or the South Bend, Indiana area, now you've got a couple places you can go and meet some local Bitcoiners. And I think to like kick this whole podcast off, I think it's appropriate to sort of talk a little bit about what a Bitcoin meetup is. I think that there's some assumptions that many people have that a Bitcoin meetup is just a place you go and meet with Bitcoiners. And that's true, but I think deeper than that, Bitcoin, after Bitcoin meetups get rolling for a while, and you've done 40 41 or 42 of them now, you know, they become more of like a place where you build your own local Bitcoin culture. And it also leads into building a local Bitcoin economy, at least in my experience. And so these meetups are a place where you go and make friends and get to talk about Bitcoin, but you actually find a culture and community in your local area that's not necessarily exclusively on the internet anymore. And this is very powerful.
I'm actually really excited to start learning about all these different communities. You know what I mean? Like with all the different meetups that are happening all over the place, just like you said, each one's going to form, you know, we're all decentralized because we're all just kind of off on our own, building our own meetups. You know, there's no rules. There's no rules for a meetup. You can do whatever you want. And so I'm really excited to learn just like what other people are doing for their meetups. You know, like mine has a lot of, I'll say, Bitcoin beginners. This is where they come to get their Bitcoin education. But I know for a fact that my, you know, that's not necessarily like common throughout all meetups. What's the kind of the culture of yours, you think? I know you're going to talk for a minute probably here about, you know, some of the, you know, local peer-to-peer economy stuff. But I'd love to hear just like about the culture of your meetup.
And so this, I think I'm going to speak more broadly on the culture of the meetups that I attend, because I run the South Bend meetup, and that's just kind of one of several meetups that are within, let's say, an hour and a half to 2 hours of where I live. And so I'll travel to those other meetups. I basically get to one Bitcoin meetup a week. I'm actually going to a Bitcoin meetup in Elmhurst, Illinois, the western suburbs of Chicago, tomorrow with Bitcoin account. We're going to go check that one out for the first time. That's at Bottle Theory at 6 p.m. I guess it's going to be irrelevant by the time this podcast gets released. It'll already have happened. But anyways, I go to a bunch of Bitcoin meetups, right? And the general culture has, it's you're right. It's a great place for people who are new to Bitcoin and want to learn more about Bitcoin in any aspect to go, because typically what you'll find in my experience at these meetups is that if you're interested in Bitcoin mining, you go to the meetup and there's going to be someone who knows a lot about Bitcoin mining there. If you're interested in setting up your Lightning node, there's somebody that's running a Lightning node, somebody that probably is running a Lightning routing node and trying to earn some sats on their Bitcoin. There's developers who are developing Bitcoin software. You can learn about wallets, hardware wallets, self-custody, privacy. And a lot of these subjects can be a little bit more touchy to ask questions out there broadly in the internet, because they're sometimes questions that you don't want everyone knowing that you're curious about this. And so it becomes an easy place to build some trust with the people after going for a while, and then finding a little bit higher signal and more guidance as you attend.
Yeah, the other thing too, right, is, you know, if you're going there to learn, it can be hard to ask questions online and get legitimate responses, right? Like maybe you can get into somebody's DMs and then maybe you can schedule a phone call and like maybe that can be productive. But if you go to a Bitcoin meetup and you're face to face and you find somebody who, you know, knows something about what you're talking about, they can either A, like answer your question outright. They can probably give you like tips and tricks that they've learned over the years or whatever. But then they can also help you try to figure out where to get resources, you know, and how to figure this stuff out, even if they don't know the answers. And face-to-face is just the way to go, right? If you really want to make sure that you're getting an answer to your question, face-to-face is going to be way better than online.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to the whole idea of culture. Like, across the different meetups that I attend, there are certain, let's say, wallets that people prefer to use at one meetup, and then I go to another meetup and that wallet, let's take the Chicago BitDevs, for example. That's at the Strike office in Chicago. And so a lot of people like to use Strike at that meetup. And so if you're using Strike and you're having an issue with Strike and you go to that meetup, you're probably going to have be able to talk to somebody who has had similar issues or be able to figure out how to get that worked out or the best ways to utilize Strike. The Indianapolis meetup in Indiana, a lot of people, it seems, like to use the Fold service there. And so Strike and Fold and even River too, right? So there's all these different services that people are using, but they're not necessarily consistent across all meetups. So when you go to one, you'll find one that you can get, you know, the best guidance and advice on utilizing it, rather than just kind of, like you said, shouting out into the internet and then maybe getting bad advice. Another thing is, like, one way that I've learned that I can sort of trust the guidance of the people at the meetups is that their reputation is kind of riding on the line there. If they're saying this stuff at the meetup and it's bullshit, and then you go to the next meetup and they're there again and you're like, dude, you totally gave me bad advice.
They're going to have to own that.
Something that, yeah, people don't want to really deal with the consequences of that. Whereas if you're just some random anon on the internet, you don't really care if the advice is good or not. You might just be trolling or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, it reminds me of, there was something NBK used to say, maybe he still says it, and it had to do with, like, he was really talking about Bitcoin custody models, but he called it proof of punch. You can always just go there and punch the guy in the face if you actually know him, right? Can't do that on the internet.
Right. And the meetups are so valuable that, and we'll get to that, but they're so valuable that I think a lot of people don't want to be exiled from the meetup for being a troll or just saying bad shit or being a bad participant in general. Mm. There's some incentives around that keep people wanting to be cooperative and beneficial to the group.
Hell yeah. So let's see. So how long has your meetup been going on?
Over a year. Nice. It's funny. I'm not very good at, like, keeping track of the date when I started things and how long I've been doing it, or, you know, I kind of need to go and always look that up, and I don't know exactly, but we definitely celebrated our 1 year anniversary of our meetup that has happened. So I've been doing it for more than 1 year.
Awesome.
And I've been attending meetups for many years at this point. That's why I started one, was because I was attending so many, and I thought, you know, I'm having to drive an hour or 2 hours to these meetups. If I start one, then I can have one that's closer to my house, and then I'll meet different people. There is some overlap between the meetups that I attend, but it's not 100% by any means. And so as I go to more meetups, I meet a larger and larger portion of what's in my range for the local Bitcoin culture, the people who are Bitcoiners on, you know, trying to use Bitcoin and participate in the Bitcoin in a similar way that I am.
Yeah. That's funny. So that's how I started too. Like I had been to several meetups before I started mine. My meetup journey started with, so my fiat job, so I work in the nuclear power industry. And my role at my company requires that I travel quite a bit, actually. That's part of the reason, by the way, that I don't nail down a specific Sunday, is because I have to travel on Sundays sometimes, which is actually pretty annoying. But it does allow me to find local Bitcoin meetups when I travel. And so I've actually been to, I don't even know, probably like maybe 15 different meetups just sprinkled all around the country. And after I had been to like probably two or three of them, I was like, no, you know what? I have to do this myself. I mean, I just have to have this on a regular basis. I can't just be doing like one meetup a year. You know, this is great. And part of me wondered when I got started if I'd find anybody, you know, in my local area. Like, I don't know if there's any other Bitcoiners around me. I didn't have like a buddy to get started with. I just kind of posted it on meetup.com to see what would happen. And luckily for me, one guy showed up on the first event, and that was it. That was enough for me to say, hey, you want to do this again next month? And he was like, of course. And so we started from there, and it's grown over time. But yeah, man, it's the meetup culture, and you're right, they are different, but we always have that, all those different common threads, you know what I mean, that you just don't get when you're talking to friends or family or anybody in your life that you try to talk about Bitcoin to, that they just don't understand it the way that we understand it, the way that people go to Bitcoin meetups understand it.
Yeah, and even though like the conversations are, you know, the exact subject matter might be different at each one.
Of course.
And sometimes, and this is, I mean, when the conversation trends away from Bitcoin specifically into more geopolitics or privacy or whatever, or prepping, you know, homesteading, these kinds of things, you realize that even though like at the BitDev, the Chicago BitDevs, which is a heavy technical developer focused kind of group, the things that they're concerned about and interested in talking about are similar to the, you know, Southwest Michigan homesteader group where everyone's kind of bringing food to exchange. And so this probably kind of also shows you that no matter what the format, because if you've been to all these different meetups, right, and everyone has kind of a different format, some being incredibly organized and very with an agenda and presentations and private space and food and whatever, down to just like, hey, meet me at the coffee shop, meet me at the bar, meet me at the park. And I got nothing planned, but well, at least we'll be together. And it can be as simple as that or as complicated as, you know, really scheduling everything and coordinating a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I had actually, I think it happened to me twice. I was traveling to an area, and the first thing that I do, I book it. As soon as I book my travel and I know my nights, I'll go on to Meetup and I'll find the local Bitcoin meetup. And it's like, ah, you know, there's not one going to be there while I'm there. So usually I'll look up the Bitcoin meetup organizer and send them a message. And I've had two of them just say, I mean, you're going to be in town, we'll just schedule a meetup. And they just put one on the calendar. You know, a few people showed up, but that's all it is. We're just, hey, you want to come hang out, talk about Bitcoin? Of course, I got time for that. We can schedule something.
Yeah, that reminds me. Do you remember this guy, Sid? He was traveling on a motorcycle, and he was going to as many Bitcoin meetups across the country as possible in like one straight trip.
I heard about that. Yeah, he was reaching out to see if he could coordinate like when he was going to hit certain stops, right? I think I remember that.
Yeah. And so Sid's big adventure kind of, I think this was at, it was right after when things, I don't know if it was during COVID or something was going on where the energy behind Bitcoin meetups had a lot of momentum. There was a lot
for
of
sure.
Meetups popping up, and there was a lot of buzz about meetups. You'd hear on the podcast, every podcast talk about if you should go find your local Bitcoin meetup, and if you don't have one, start one. And I think that energy has died down a little bit. But anyway, Sid was traveling across the country. And of course, you know, he's going to be like, hey, I know you've got a meetup in this town, but I'm traveling and I'm just going to be passing through on this date. Does anyone want to meet up? And sure enough, almost always he was able to gather a group around and do a Bitcoin meetup with, because there had already been something established, right?
Right.
There was already people there that knew they could get
people
together.
Yeah.
And so you just put the message out and all of a sudden here come people showing up. And the cool thing about this as well is that, like you said at the beginning, there's no rules. This isn't like a form, like my meetup is just me and another guy decided to do it. And
yeah.
So if we have to like, if for whatever reason, some month, both of us can't make it to the meetup on the date, like we just tell, you know, you can still just go, you know,
you can just go.
I don't need to be
there.
Matter. You can still all show up at the
That's
same
right.
time, same day, you know, the deal. In Grand Rapids, this has happened many times where the organizers were unavailable and everyone still just went anyways. And somebody kind of volunteered from the group in one of the group chats to say, I'll, you know, make sure to greet everyone and make sure that everyone knows the deal and kind of start the meetup off. And then somebody else might show up with some content, some presentation to give, and it all just worked. It always works itself out, you know.
100%. Yeah, you know, that actually makes me think of one of the things that I've been thinking about is like what are the, like, what, when you decide to start a Bitcoin meetup, I know there's no rules, but what do you, I've tried to put it into words before, and even now I'm struggling even just to frame the question, but I feel like once you start a Bitcoin meetup, you do have somewhat of a responsibility, right, to the meetup and to be reflecting, you know, what we think are good Bitcoin values. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but I guess
what, yeah, like what makes a successful meetup, maybe, you know,
maybe that's, maybe it's as simple as that.
There's some things, while there's no rules, there are some things that I've noticed that lead to consistent, long-lasting, successful meetups. And I mean, the biggest hang up right away is the venue. Where do I go? And a lot of times the starting venue is just the place that kicks everything off. And once the group gets established, then a better venue reveals itself through, you know, the collective knowledge of the group. And then you end up traveling, you know, going somewhere else.
That happened for us several times. We're on like our fourth location and each one's been better than the last.
Yeah. And so it's easy to get hung up on like, oh, I don't have a great place, or I don't know where I would go. Or it's, you could just pick your favorite spot to go. If you like to, you know, want to do a coffee meetup, just have it at your local coffee shop, have it at the local Starbucks. The cool thing now too, is that there's a beat with this, Square integration, with Cash App. There's now the BTC Maps is in Cash App, and there's a lot more businesses being listed on BTC Maps because they're accepting Bitcoin through Square. And so now a good starting place would be to look at the BTC map and see if there's any businesses in your area that are accepting Bitcoin, like a restaurant or a bar, somewhere where people can hang out, and go visit that place and check it out if you haven't been there. That's where I'm saying this because this is my process for trying to move the location of the South Bend meetup. We're feeling like we've, you know, this location served its purpose and we've spent our time there. We're going to look for a place that accepts Bitcoin now. We want to be able to buy our drinks and buy our food and do it with Bitcoin. But yeah, that's getting into the weeds. Basically, you just got to pick somewhere and start. The location can be an intimidating starting place. Like, what do? You just pick somewhere.
Yeah, especially when you're first getting started. I think, you know, you have zero obligation to make this like a big educational thing. You have zero obligation to like get a speaker or to have a focus topic. If you just want to, if you're looking to start a Bitcoin meetup, just like you said, just go grab your, like, you don't need a reservation. Like, just go to, like, pick your local bar, pick your local coffee shop. If you want to do something a little bit more private or secluded, go to your local library. You know, we had one meetup in a library. It was more like a workshop, but, you know, it worked out, you know, pretty well. And there are libraries all over the place. So find a venue for when you're first getting started. There's all, you know, you got all kinds of options.
Yeah, and so then it's like once you pick the spot and you pick the date for the first one, how soon should you do the next one? And like, what's the frequency? And I think it's easy to burn yourself out, especially if you're trying to build this. It's sometimes to get the meetup, the ball rolling, you got to do a lot of talking about it to somebody to let them know that the meetup exists. Relying on the marketing of meetup.com or wherever you might use to promote it on its own, might be hard to get people to show up right away. And so if you're trying to do a meetup every week and get people to show up and make it worth your effort, that's going to burn you out. I would certainly burn out. It seems like a 1 month frequency is a good starting place. I know a guy that is just doing it once a quarter. And he puts a lot more effort. He's like, I don't want to just meet up with two or three people or whoever just kind of wanders through the door. I want to kind of have it, put some effort into getting people to come. And so he spends 3 months talking about it and building it up and then having it once a quarter.
Where is that? I haven't heard of that. That's kind of a good idea.
It's Five Star Pizza in Colon, Michigan.
Okay.
Carl is his name, who organizes that.
Gotcha.
And he's a meetup junkie like me. He drives hours and hours to go to meetups, and he loves meetups.
Yeah, that's really cool. We you know, we tried to do something. So we have, I guess, evolved. I don't know. Like, we started certainly with socials. Like the first, I don't know, year and a half. You know, we started at one bar, but then we didn't really like the room that we were in and stuff. So we found another place. But eventually, I wanted to cycle into doing some more like educational type content where we'd have slides and TV and stuff like that. But there were definitely some people that still wanted that, you know, they like just hanging out and talking Bitcoin. And so it's like, okay, well, we'll do it like every other month. And eventually it got to the point where our socials were actually start like getting fewer and fewer attendance, and our educational ones were getting more and more attendance. So I kind of said, how about like once a year, we'll have like a bigger social event that we like actually go out and get like a real venue, and we like advertise, and we try to get a bunch of the other meetups in our area to like come on over, like, hey, we're going to throw a party this time. So we did that this past fall, and it was a pretty big success. I mean, it was probably three times the size of a normal meetup for us. So we had, you know, pretty good turnout. Like there was probably 30 people there. We rented just a small venue. Again, it was like, it was just like a, like any of these, like it wasn't a VFW, but it was like that, you know what I mean? Just like a little kind of like men's club. They had a bar and stuff like that. And it was only like $200. Like we rented the place out for a night, and we made that, like, I just asked people at the door, hey, this is free, but you know, it's $200 to rent the place. You want to toss in a little bit of money? You know, we made, you know, at least half of that back, and people just willing to donate. So I like that idea of doing like putting more effort in like less frequently, to try to get bigger attendance. That's a cool thing.
And so the reason why this works for Carl, as I mentioned, he travels around to all these meetups. And so he's kind of, you know, for that 3 months, he's going to these different meetups. Maybe he'll go 2.5-3 hours from his place to a meetup. And I think he probably hits one at least once every other week, if not every week. And so he's like, while he's going to these meetups, he's like, hey, you know, I've got this pizza shop. It accepts Bitcoin. I'm doing a meetup at this time, you know, put it on your calendar or whatever. And then obviously he gets in the group chats and puts his reminders up there. And so this is kind of another point, is that if you want to start a Bitcoin meetup and you're not attending meetups, it's really good to go to, if you can find a meetup within 1 or 2 hours of your place, and go check that out, meet the people there. And it sounds far, but you know, it's just kind of the way things are these days. It's hard to have a bunch of meetups within a half hour of your place. But this is the idea, is that you go there, you meet the people. And this is kind of how I started my meetup and how I got it rolling, was that I said, hey, as I was attending all these other meetups, like, hey, I'm gonna start one in South Bend. This is going to be the first one. And I kind of made it a kickoff, you know, like, all right, everybody from the meetup culture around, if you can make it, this is our first one, come celebrate with us. And so that first meetup was like 20 something people, you know, it was compared to our average 5 or 8 or whatever.
Sure.
And so that's a good way to get momentum going around your first meetup, if you have access to these other communities around you.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. You guys have like, I've heard from you a little bit, but I've heard from other people too. The Michigan area has a really strong Bitcoiner culture. Like a lot of big, really solid Bitcoin meetups are going on over in your neck of the woods. For me, so I'm in Massachusetts. We've got, I think there's three in Massachusetts. And then like another three that are kind of like just outside of our borders, like one in New Hampshire, one in Rhode Island, one in Connecticut. But every meetup, they're all over an hour away from me, you know, 1 to 2 hours away, those like six meetups. So for me, it was huge to start my own. But yeah, I've been fortunate enough. I think I've attended all of their meetups except for one. I think I still haven't made it out to New Hampshire one, but coincidentally, I am talking with him about coming over in February or March.
Yeah, interesting, man. So it's like, it's not necessarily a prerequisite to start a Bitcoin meetup. Obviously, there's no rules, but a good rule of thumb is like, before you start one, try and find the other ones within an hour or two of your place and go check those out.
Go check them out. Hell yeah.
And so so consistency, once you get the ball rolling, is like super important. There's been some meetups that I've started and they kind of tripped. Once you lose the momentum, then the people that do want to regularly show up don't know, like, they're like, oh, am I going to show up and no one's going to be there this month or what, without kind of looking and seeing the group chat and everything. And so if you can stay consistent, this is going to allow you to build that core group of regulars, which in my experience in the smaller meetups is like 4 to 8 people, you know, that kind of consistently show up every month. Yeah. And these are these are the guys that help guide the new people, right? They're the ones who have been there,
that's right,
got all the tricks and tips, have their strategies and whatever. But so to maintain consistency, one thing that I noticed in the Michigan meetups was that the meetups that had more than one organizer were able to maintain the consistency because one guy could go on vacation or whatever, or be traveling for work, and then there would still be somebody to keep the meetup going while it was young. And so having a partner is, once again, not a prerequisite, but really helpful to maintain the consistency of the meetup.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have like I haven't had anybody else run the meetups other than me. But I do have a group of four. It's like, we call it kind of like the core four. Like there's a group of four of us that are, you know, maybe not every single meetup, but like damn near every single meetup. You know what I mean? We're kind of, like you said, that's the kind of core group. We're the ones all going around. We find, you know, the new people and chat them up and figure out where they're at in their journey. And a lot of times we'll talk about it afterwards and see if there's anything that we can do to reach out, or, hey, did you hear any topics that you think we should cover at the next meetup? What kinds of stuff are people talking about? So, you know, one of the coolest things for me about starting the meetup is I have like a whole new friend group now. You know what I mean? Like I had, you know, lack of a better term, like my normie friends, you know what I mean? And my coworkers and stuff like that. But it's different. It hits different when you have a group of local friends. Like we hang out plenty of times outside of the meetups. You know, we go on hikes together, you know, get together, go to each other's houses. We have campfires. And a lot of times we'll just open those up. Again, we're not posting necessarily that stuff on meetup.com, but yeah, we'll reach out to the other, you know, regulars or people who attend the meetup. Hey, just so you know, next Tuesday night, you know, we're having a little get together. And it's been really cool to get a whole new friend group that you can relate to in a whole different way, you know, compared to, like I said, like your kind of older, longer term friend group or coworkers and stuff like that. It kind of hits different.
Yeah, dude, I can echo that exactly. The Michigan meetups have been going for several years now, these new ones that have just popped up. And the relationships and the trust that has been built amongst the people that cross-pollinate all these meetups leads to a lot of other side get-togethers and, you know, true friendships. I've went and done work and helped other people from the meetups build stuff. They've helped me out here at the homestead. And so this is what I'm getting at, is that these meetups are a lot more than just getting together and kind of talking about Bitcoin in person than on the internet. It leads, after a few years of participating, into this whole network and economy of Bitcoiners in your local area.
Yeah, you know, so I think, you referenced it before. And I remember this time quite vividly when all the podcasts were all saying, you know, go check out your local meetups. Meetups were popping up all over the place. I'm pretty sure mine was right in that mix. Like I started mine September of 22. And that was right in that period of time where meetups were going crazy. Bitcoin Magazine like reached out and said, hey, can we list your meetup in the next print edition of the magazine? And that kind of stuff doesn't happen so much anymore. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess, so that period of time was just, it was just a magical time. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, where you think we're going. Like, what do you think's going on these days with meetup culture and, you know, why do you think it is that people stop talking about meetups quite as much? You know, we've noticed a lot of meetups have noticed attendance kind of plateau. I don't think it's been dropping off. Ours hasn't dropped off. But I would say we've pretty much plateaued. A lot of meetups I hear have numbers about the same size that we're talking about, you know, somewhere between 5 and 15 is super common. So I don't know. I mean, it's not something you and I have talked about before. Like, where do you think Bitcoin meetup culture is going? Like, what do you think that we can do to help encourage other people to start a meetup or to go check out their local meetups?
Well, you know, now that just listening to you talk about it, now thinking about the meetups in Michigan, I think what's happened a little bit here specifically is that there was a lot of work on finding us. We all had to find each other.
Yeah.
Right. There was marketing that needed to happen, putting the word out there, kind of getting excited about starting new meetups and stuff. And it got to the point where we had a pretty good thing going on and still do, but the focus went from marketing and trying to get more people to show up and new meetups to start into how do we work together and how do we build together and how do it turned into just, we've got enough to work with here for a while. This is great. And the energy just went away. It's like, we don't need to really get too many more people. While it's nice, it wasn't the main focus anymore. And I think it's kind of starting to circle around. Maybe this is the case in a lot of places. Maybe. I don't necessarily know, but I feel like now we've like reached another plateau where we've like built up these relationships. We kind of know what's going on with each other. We're like, all right, it's time. It would be get some more people into this mix. This is great. We have something to offer now. There's things that we're looking for. And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about economically. Like, I want a mechanic at the meetups.
Oh yeah, that too.
I want to be able to I can go get my teeth done, like dentist work done. Like, there's all of these people that I know that now are willing to take my Bitcoin. I want to do that for all of these goods and services that I want to buy. For a while, it was just like utilizing the community that was available. Now I'm like, all right, I got my relationships built up, my deals worked out, and other people are feeling the same. Let's find more resources.
Yeah, you know, and hearing you say that, it's funny that my mind started with like the external, when really it probably should have started with the internal. Because you're absolutely right. I there was a pivot point for me specifically where I went from, we need to grow the meetup. We need to grow the meetup. Like, we need to find more people. We need to get boost attendance. And then I switched, probably around that time, I switched to doing the educational content. Most of my focus and effort went into, I need to produce good content. And now that I have people to talk to, I need to make sure we're having good discussions. I need to make sure we're, I don't know, expanding our horizons and making sure people are up to date on like what I think is, you know, the topics of this month that we should really be talking about that are highly relevant. And you're right, a lot of my effort went into that. So I wonder if maybe it really just is as simple as returning to that initial drive to expand the meetup. Maybe just switching at, if everybody started switching to that model, maybe we'd start finding more people to, you know, across the country to start attending meetups.
And that's what this podcast is for. Yeah, that's what we're talking about this. So everyone gets out there, gets inspired.
100%.
If you got a meetup, you know, you're hearing about some cool stuff from across meetup culture all over. And, you know, if you're looking to start one, you're kind of hearing the path that it takes over a few years, you know. And I guess, so the final thing we didn't really talk about as far as like the best practices or the whatever, the things that make a successful meetup is the marketing of it. Like, how do you get it going? I mean, I mentioned that you could go to a meetup and talk to other people that are within an hour or two of you, But online, it sounds like you used meetup.com. I found a bunch of meetups initially on meetup.com. It doesn't seem to be ubiquitous like it once was, because I think it's so expensive. And so the marketing stuff is something that I don't necessarily have. I honestly could use, talk to some, hear good ideas around that, because I'm struggling with the marketing personally.
Same. Yeah, in the beginning, we tried all kinds of stuff. I tried hanging up flyers. I tried posting stuff to, of course, we had the meetup.com, but, you know, posting stuff to social media. But of course, that's not local. So you can get engagement, but that doesn't mean that there are people who are actually local to you. We found by far, it's not even close. Our biggest form of getting new members is word of mouth. Wasn't even close. It's like all but like three people like heard about us just from somebody else. Like somebody who came, oh, hey, I heard that there's a meetup going on. Oh, there is? Oh, let me come. You know? So even I should probably start preaching that again. Just, hey, tell your friends, tell your family. We're open to all. Even if they know nothing at all about Bitcoin, they're more than welcome to come hang out.
Word of mouth is definitely where you find the regulars.
That's true.
That's because, you know, they already know somebody who's either been to the meetup or goes regularly or heard about it from someone they trust. And so they're coming in into it with a pretty good vibe generally in the first place. And then, like, I've used podcast boosting.
Oh, yeah, I've done that
too. Promote the meetup.
Yeah.
Like Bitcoin And is a good podcast because that's every day, pretty, you know, it's like five podcasts a week and you can just boost it every day leading up to the meetup the week before. And so people that listen to that podcast hear it. The trick is, like, you can't just put out the signal once and say, here's the meetup, this is when it's happening. You have to kind of increase the frequency of letting people know that the meetup's happening as it gets closer to the meetup. Like a week before is when you should really be reminding everyone.
Yeah.
And for people that I'm in direct connection with, the group chat is easiest, number one place. I guess we didn't talk about group chats yet either.
Yeah,
we'll get to that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But then I actually will text, like, direct message people too, especially if it's someone that hasn't been for a while or whatever. Yeah. I'll just, like, message them directly and remind them. And that this is all, that this takes time and work.
Yes, it does.
And this, once again, this isn't for starting a meetup. This is kind of more once the meetup's established and rolling. But boosting podcasts, I definitely have had new people show up from boosting podcasts. I've had people show up from Noster, just like posting on Noster. And when I say people, I'm talking like one or two people. Correct. Across the year that I've done it, right? Like maybe one person from all of that podcast boosting has heard it and actually come. And maybe one person from Noster has come.
Yep.
But this is, those people are also most likely to become regulars. Because they're already, you know, in the Bitcoin culture on the internet, right?
Correct.
And so they're like, man, a lot of times it's a piece of their Bitcoin life that they didn't know was missing. Having people to actually come and physically interact with on a regular basis, see the same people, continue the stories as things go on, as the relationships build. The static, zero interaction for me from any static thing like a website that has just the meetup listed on it somewhere. No one's ever said, oh, I saw it on this website.
I found, like, your website randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never.
Yeah. So we have a website too. And I do post our meetups there, but I mostly use it so that I can give people an easy place to go. So I don't have to say, oh, go to meetup.com and search for us. I can say, sure. Go to westernmassbitcoin.com. And one of the good ideas that I heard from another meetup organizer, I can't remember when or who, so apologies for not being able to attribute this, but if you don't have the bandwidth or you don't have the skills or the money to make a meetup website, just get a domain. They cost like between $10 and $20 a year, and just set the domain, point it at your meetup.com page. Then you get the best of both worlds. Meetup.com can do all your SEO. They can do all your advertising and stuff like that. It makes it easy to find. And then you can just tell people a website to go to. I thought that was a cool hack. But yeah, I like having the website. The website's a good thing too for, I've done the podcasting boosts, like for advertisements. I think I've done Bitcoin and I've also done RHR. And in both cases, it's nice to be able to say, go to westernmassbitcoin.com to find out when our next event is, you know? So that's honestly, I mean, I do keep some stuff there. I do like content repositories and I post all our slides, but I'm pretty sure no one uses any of that except for me. So.
Well, it's there. It says it's a record and a document that people can reference if they ever do decide they want to check something out. They're like, oh, there's all this other shit here too, which is
makes great. It look more legitimate, more reputable. So yeah, for that. Sure.
Yeah, it's so I guess this has got me thinking too, like meetup.com costs money. Boosting these podcasts costs money. Orange Pill app is another one that we've used with some moderate success. It's like the aggregate Orange, of all these different techniques. Is it called something else now?
I think it's Club Orange now.
Club Orange. Okay. So because I don't use it. Bitcoin account uses it. But so the aggregate of the podcast boost, the Noster, when I used to do Twitter, you know, whatever. It brings in one or two people. And before you know it, you've got four or five regular people.
Yep.
But they cost money, right? The Orange Pill app, we did the geo boosts. So it's like you can send 500 sats to everyone on the app in this range of your meetup and say, hey, the meetup's happening here. And we've had a couple of people show up that way. So you can decide to spend as much money or as little as you want on the marketing. It's just, if you are willing to spend some sats, then you have these resources, these extra resources at your fingertips that do work a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and even the website thing costs money too. Yeah, that is one thing. I mean, you can do a Bitcoin meetup spending almost no money, especially if you already have like one or two people who you know are going to show up. And once you have a Bitcoin meetup, you know, you can, like, once you have a bunch of regulars, you can probably get your costs down to, you know, near zero if you really wanted to. But I have found, at least for me, and I have found also in talking to a bunch of other Bitcoin meetup organizers, like over the years, I think most of us are totally willing to throw in a little bit of money. You know, I mean, if nothing, like, people spend money on hobbies all the time, right? And for me, this is one of the things that brings me a lot of fulfillment and a lot of really joy for being able to organize all this stuff. So I'm totally fine spending, you know, I think meetup.com alone is like $30 a month. You know, but yeah, a little bit of money here and there, I think it's well worth it.
Well, so this kind of leads into, all right, what are some reasons? Like, how does the money you spend on promoting the meetup and getting the meetup going make it worth it for you as the organizer? Personally, I do homesteading. I produce a lot of stuff that I'd like to sell for Bitcoin, and it's stuff that is not necessarily, it's food. So it doesn't make sense to ship it everywhere. I got to find people locally that want to buy my stuff. And so if I'm going to spend a little bit of money marketing a Bitcoin meetup, that also means that I'm spending a little bit of money getting access to a Bitcoin market for selling my stuff. And this is usually what the people that show up to the meetup have been looking for. They're like, oh man, it's so great that I can now get my maple syrup from you and pay in Bitcoin. And so there's so much, you get your sats back in other ways. The other thing that I've gained is liquidity for cash for my Bitcoin, right? So the Bitcoin that I earn, now I don't have to liquidate that on the exchange and KYC it. I can stay no KYC all the way. I earn the Bitcoin, I sell it back to the Bitcoin community for cash. And this is a great service to them because
they get
KYC. It's very hard to find people to buy Bitcoin from for cash. And so this is a win-win. And it makes it much easier for me to live on a Bitcoin standard and live on Bitcoin.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, those are definitely great. And I think you guys especially have the you know, that local I guess what do you call your do you call it a local Bitcoin economy? Is that, do you feel like that's what you're fostering? I don't want to
We
give
like to
like the
call it
impressions that
circular
it's like,
economy.
what do you call it?
We like to call it a circular economy because that's the meme,
Yeah,
right?
that's
Like,
better.
oh, if we can just create
Yeah.
the Bitcoin circular economy, and we're like, we have one.
Hell
Because you
yeah.
could go to a meetup in Michigan and you can buy something from somebody, and then you can turn around and sell something to somebody else, and the Bitcoin just changed hands from that person to the other person through you. It literally
100%.
circulated through the room.
It's like
And
what money
then you
was
go to the
always
other
meant to
meetup.
be.
Right. It's silly because it's not a ton of stuff. It's just getting started. But it is economic activity, and the Bitcoin is circulating amongst the community. And like I said, when I earn Bitcoin from people, I sell the Bitcoin back into the community. So
Yeah.
the Bitcoin that I'm getting from the people locally is being distributed back locally again.
Yeah, I mean that's 100%. I mean that's a great point. One of the things, and I guess this is less maybe it's less of a personally, like, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's less personally selfish, I guess. But it's more, it's still a selfish act because we're all in Bitcoin. One of the things I like to say, sometimes I try to be controversial at the meetup just to like get people's attention, have their ears perk up. One of the things I like to say is, you know, everybody says, you know, it's like death taxes in 21 million, right? 21 million Bitcoin, that'll never be changed. But the reality is, it absolutely can be changed. The reason why people think it's never going to change is because of the social ethos that's evolved around Bitcoin. And that all Bitcoiners, when you buy Bitcoin, when you hold Bitcoin, when you become a Bitcoiner, you know that there'll only ever be 21 million. And if anybody ever tried to change that, you could put your foot down and say, absolutely not. My node will be 21 million, period. But we don't know what that's going to be like. What if in 50 years, nobody cares anymore, or nobody even knows, or nobody even thinks about it? And so I like to try to get people's attention saying that, you know, 21 million is actually not a guarantee. It actually requires that you know about it. It requires that you understand that this can be changed. And it requires that you know that you personally can put your foot down and say, absolutely not, not on my node. But you got to be able to run a node. And you got to know that that it is technically up to you to define those rules. And so that's one of the things, again, I try to say this at as many meetups as I can, but that's one of the reasons why I run it, is because I want my local community to know that this thing is as only as strong, 21 million, for example, along with other rules, they're only as strong as we make them.
Yeah, you know, you pay for a hardware wallet, you pay for the Bitcoin miners and the node soft, the node computer and all this stuff, right? And these are ways of taking full control and sovereignty over your stack and your interaction with Bitcoin. And when you run a Bitcoin meetup, you might spend a little bit of your sats, but this is a similar tool that you're using in order to make sure that the Bitcoin that you're wanting to participate in is enforced, and you're doing your part to make sure that the cultural capital is consistent enough for it to maintain that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So I think we covered pretty much all the essential stuff except for the group chat.
Oh yeah, let's cover group chat. Good idea.
So once you get the meetup going, it's really good to have some way to keep people connected. And in communication, so the conversation can continue. A lot of times people will be like, oh yeah, I know about this node stuff, and it's like, here's what you do, and the person's eyes are rolling back in their head because it's like this long, complicated technical explanation. And so then in the group chat, the people can say like, hey, you know, you were talking about how to set up this Lightning node. I finally got start nine, you know, what's my next step? And if they do it publicly in the group chat, now it's not appropriate for everything, but these things that are appropriate, now everybody can learn together and stay in communication. It's also a great place to make it known if you want to sell some Bitcoin, if you want to buy some Bitcoin, if you have something to sell, if there's something you're looking to buy, and you can try and find it, find liquidity for whatever that is in the group chat. And then also to share memes, of course.
I was going to say, that's mostly what we do in ours. So what do you guys use for group chat? I know there's lots of different options out there.
So it's kind of a mess, a lot like the marketing is a mess and all these different channels and all this different stuff. Each meetup will have usually a main platform, right? And it's trending towards Signal in the Michigan culture. But
it's a good trend.
It's still on Telegram, and it's so also on Discord. And even some on Simplex. And so and it's kind of like there will be different pockets of people that really, like, the super hardcore privacy people are on Simplex. And you got to know to find them there, right? But they're not gone from the community. They're just chatting over here.
Yeah.
But as an organizer, I've just chosen Signal, because a lot of people that come to the meetups will probably already have Signal. It's the highest probability of something they'll already have, versus for whatever reason, a lot of people don't have Telegram or don't like Telegram. And Signal is just more private, and it's more in line with what I would want to recommend and communicate on anyways.
Yeah.
So Signal is the number one. And then I'd say Telegram used to be the king, right? All of the stuff used to be happening on Telegram. It seems to be moving away from that, but Telegram's also a great place. Just a lot of scammers and bullshit, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. That's so true. We had to deal with, we're just like a small, we started on Telegram for our group chat. And, we only have like 10 people or something. I guess we had more than that. Like, just, we probably had 10 people who were active in it, right? And we still had scammers. We had people pretending to be me, like reaching out to people asking for Bitcoin. And like, luckily, none of that, nobody ever fell for it or whatever. So one of the things we did that actually stopped all the spam, I used to post our Telegram link, like an invite link, on our meetup.com page, took that off, and all that went away. And so now it's like, hey, if you want into the Telegram group at the meetup, I will tell, hey, you're new. If you want to join our Telegram, here's how you get into the Telegram.
Right.
But yeah, I'll be honest.
Go to the meetup and get on the chat, or it's word of mouth typically now.
Word of mouth.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you're like, hey, I met a guy, he hasn't been to a meetup yet, but I want to get him in the chat, say hi and everything.
Yeah, 100%. I'll be honest though. We had, in the early days of our Telegram group, we had people pretty active. It fell off a cliff at some point. I don't know if it was Telegram specifically, but we actually don't really even use a group chat too much anymore. I switched about a year ago. I decided I was just going to make a push, because we had members who they just didn't want another app. Like, I already got too many apps. I got, Twitter and Noster and Telegram and Signal, and I'm in all these groups, and I get all these freaking notifications on my phone all the time. So about a year ago, I started asking people if they want to start an email. Like, we'll just start an email list. And now I've got like 40 email addresses on our email list. And so that's where I do, like, I'll send out reminders for the upcoming meetups and stuff like that. I actually talked about at our last meetup starting to actually use that a little bit more hey, does anybody have any requests for topics or other ideas that we should be working on or doing, or things that they find interesting? And just try to get a little bit more of a conversation going. Because everything, even on the Telegram group, it seemed like I'd go back into the Telegram group to list the next meetup, and the last post was me listing the previous meetup. And it's like, I can do this over email. And people will probably have as soon as you mute the group notifications, forget it. Like, no one's ever going to see those messages ever again.
It gets buried
It gets buried, like, so quick.
And yeah, it's that's just a great example of how, over time the meetup will tell you. Start off using certain tools and techniques just to get going, right? But as the meetup evolves, you realize who the people who are coming are, who the regulars are, and what works best. Like you said, you stop trying to push out the meetup just naturally because you wanted to focus on fostering the education and building up these core group that you have. And so that builds over time. But a group chat is definitely, I think, an essential part of the formula, you know, when having a meetup. Plan to, if you're going to start one, start considering how you're going to do a group chat too, if you want to do it on Signal or Telegram or whatever.
So I guess, so there are a couple things that I wanted to, I guess, plug, maybe some things that I have got going on, but also that, you know, us Bitcoin meetup organizers have. The first is Grassroots Bitcoin at Bitcoin Park. I believe this year it's going to be first week of April. I think it might actually be April 1st at Bitcoin Park in Nashville. It's invite only for Bitcoin meetup organizers. If you are a Bitcoin meetup organizer and you don't know about this event, I will put our contact information in the show notes, and feel free to reach out. I can try to make sure you get added to whatever Signal or Telegram groups that we all happen to live in that have the invite link to that event. So that's something to check out. But the other thing I wanted to plug was actually after Grassroots 2025, I started a quarterly phone call, like video call, which is actually how you and I connected for this podcast. And so once a quarter, I can put, that's all shared in similar Signal Telegram groups. But if you're a Bitcoin meetup organizer and you just want to come introduce yourself, find out what other meetups around the country, actually around the world. You know, we had some folks from Spain, Guatemala call into the last call, which is pretty cool. Just find out what people have going on. That's a good resource. And then as an outcome of those calls, I started a GitHub page with a bunch of best practices, lessons learned, and actually a bunch of stuff, Rev, that you said on this first recording here. I'm going to be going back and updating on the GitHub page because that's what I'm, another thing I'm trying to hope to get out of this is pick up some more best practices, lessons learned, and find a way to post all those somewhere. So I'll post links to all that stuff in the show notes, but yeah, those are some other cool things that I've got going on that hopefully will help other people start meetups, help other people expand their meetups, and keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, the Grassroots event at Bitcoin Park, if you're already running a meetup, it's awesome. I can't recommend trying to get there enough. It's a great time. You just learn so much hearing people just talking about their meetups all the time and all the different stuff that they're doing. You get so many ideas. You get excited to really hit the ground running for your meetup after going to that thing. And those quarterly calls are also the same, you know. It's just like the online version of that for an hour or whatever. And you learn so much. You meet a bunch of people, you get a bunch of resources. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff from the last call that I still haven't even gotten a chance to look into yet. Places to list the meetup and just get more eyeballs on the fact that it exists. But I guess I can sort of wrap up, go over some of the general, like basically recap what we discussed. And that's like not necessarily the best way, like how to do a meetup, but like some good things to think about if you're wanting to start one. And so like, don't let the location stress you out too much. Just kind of pick a place. You can use BTC maps to help find a place that accepts Bitcoin now. You don't have to spend money on marketing or anything. If you do, you're going to find, it's going to help find you more regulars. If you can find somebody to do it with, it'll help you maintain the consistency, and the consistency is super important to keep the regulars coming. And then a good way to find that person is to go to like one of the meetups within an hour to 2 hours of your area. And this is a good place to promote your meetup when you finally do start it. You can get some people orbiting around generally to come and celebrate the kickoff of your meetup and get some momentum going for it. You should probably like marketingmeetup.com obviously is a good place, but just if there's no link that for people to click when you're promoting it online, it doesn't exist. Like you should have something that has the date, the time, you know, the location, in a place where they can click and see, it looks like, oh yeah, this is a real thing that exists. And then finally, having some sort of, once you get people there in the meetup going, having some sort of place to stay connected with them and let the people continue to talk, some group chat type situation, signals what I use. Did I hit everything?
I think that was a good summary. Maybe in closing, you know, so we're going to be, this is our pilot. So if there are issues with audio or other things, apologies ahead of time. We will get it ironed out for episode 2. But this is going to be coming out on podcasting 2.0 apps, specifically Fountain, at least to start. But yeah, we're going to hope to get this out in the next week or so. And I guess just to close out the way we opened up, Western Mass Bitcoin meetup number 42, Sunday, February 15th, Peppa's Pizza in East Long Meadow. How about you, Rev?
Oh God, I have to look at the date again because I don't want to say the
wrong thing. I caught you cold.
Yeah. Let's see. So, because we always do the meetup in South Bend on the first Thursday of every month at Lang Lab. And so in February, the first Thursday is February 5th. So February 5th, 6 p.m., South Bend, Indiana. Lang Lab is the venue. Come hang out. We'll talk about Bitcoin, have a drink, whatever.
All right. Cheers, man.
Hey, later.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Contact info is in the show notes. And as always, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.